Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another great night of Astromind 2012. I am your host, Adrian, with Roy. Roy, are you there?
Yes, Adrian, I'm here, and we want to welcome everybody back to Astromind 2012. We're looking forward to another great night. We're going to have a guest on our show tonight. His name is Kevin Richardson. He's from the Paranormal Research and Development Center here in Salt Lake City, Utah. And Kevin, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Great. And again, we thank you for joining us tonight. And we're looking forward, you know, all our callers and listeners are looking forward to, you know, the information that you have.
Thanks for having me.
And it looks like we have a bunch lined up. You know, a lot of callers. We'll see if we could, you know, get to some of them. But first of all, we want to learn more about your paranormal group. Could you tell us a little bit more about that, Kevin?
Yeah, I'm a member of TIPA Research, T-I-P-A, which stands for Technical Investigations of the Paranormal. Like it says, we are a technical-based team. We use devices and try to capture activity with video and audio and different measurements. And but we also like to experiment with sensitives and any other tools that we think we could use to help us get our technical evidence.
That's wonderful. And how many years have you been doing this, Kevin?
I've been on the team. I've been on TIPA for 4 years, and I was at it for a couple years before that on my own. And then I got with TIPA and realized that, you know, you can cover a lot more ground with the team.
Wow. You know, and a lot of people out there, you know, they watch it on television, you know, they watch these paranormal groups go in, and, you know, what fascinates you, you know, with doing, you know, paranormal investigation? You know, why do you enjoy it so much?
You know, that changes. It's a funny thing. It changes. When I first got into it, it was about, you know, it was kind of the thrill of the hunt, you know. It was really exciting. But after I started to really get into it, it became more about the history. And trying to see what was left over of the history of a location or people's history. And then you get to the point where, you know, you want to push the envelope, or at least for me, you know, now I really want to push the envelope and look for the newest way to investigate that new piece of equipment, that new strategy to produce evidence, and that's where I'm at now.
And do you have a website for our callers and listeners to go to and learn more about your group?
Yeah, we do have a couple websites. You can go to tipperesearch.com and read our team bio and read about some of the locations that we've done and the history that we've pulled to these locations. And you know, on our website you can learn about some of the devices that we use, and there's plenty of links to other tools and things that we use, other places that are beneficial for information. I also have a YouTube channel.
Wow.
The username is Mr. Grumpy Gills with two E's. can see a lot of our a lot of the videos that I've put together and a lot of the video evidence and audio evidence and some of our experiments on that channel.
And what do you recommend to you know, our callers out there, if they're just getting started and they'd like to learn more about you know, paranormal research, or maybe even try it, you know, themselves, you know, what can you recommend?
You know, if you really, we also host a meetup, a public meetup, where we do public investigations where the public is invited to come with us. We use our tools, and, you know, you can bring any basic tool, even a cell phone, or you can bring nothing at all and come and watch and come with new members like yourself and be alongside with us so you can kind of learn what we do and, you know, how some other people do it and kind of feel your way around until you find out how you want to investigate what works best for you.
You know, that's interesting. You would bring up cell phones. I have an iPhone, you know, one of the iPhone 4s, or I had a 3, but I downloaded some of the apps, you know, off of iPhone, and I was able to download a ghost detector onto it. And I was surprised it was, you know, really accurate. Me and my son were trying it out, and it was picking up, you know, on some activity.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah, even something as simple as a cell phone, and I've tested those myself, the EMF detectors picking up milligauss. You know, you can take that phone and walk up to your fridge, and you can see how much it's putting out and test the accuracy with other EMF detectors, and they're really close. You know, you have a camera on those things, you have a voice recorder on those things, and there's several other more elaborate apps out there that you can download. But even something as simple as a cell phone, you know, can help you along the way. And
That's so interesting, because I mentioned to you when I was talking to you earlier today that my son-in-law went to one of the local clubs in Salt Lake City, and he was taking a picture of his friend, and there was a spirit on the wall, and you could see it in the picture. And you are able to take pictures of spirits, would you say?
I believe so, and not only have I seen them from other people's picture taking, but I've caught loads myself. You know, so yeah, and not only can you take pictures of them, but you can take pictures of different forms. You know, so it's. Pictures is one of the most powerful tools that a ghost hunter can have is a camera.
And what are your feelings about orbs? A lot of times when you know, a photographer is taking a picture, he might pick up on some orbs in his pictures. What are your feelings on that?
Orbs are a funny thing. You know, I was investigating in a school, and I was doing a flashlight session using flashlights to communicate, and I was taking pictures, and, you know, I was getting really good communication, and I asked if I could take their picture. And, you know, I said, okay, whenever you turn the flashlight on, I'm going to take your picture. And the flashlight came on, and I snapped. I take 3 pictures in a row when I take pictures. But And the very first picture, right above the flashlight, was an orb, probably, judging by the width of the chair, you know, that was underneath, it was probably 2 foot wide.
And, wow.
That orb I caught on command. And, you know, so I have three pieces of evidence to put back. Number one, I was using the flashlight. And in the photo, you can see the flashlight is on. That's the first part of the piece of evidence. The second piece is my command, you know, or my invitation to take a picture. And the third piece is the actual orb. So I kind of look at it, I had these three things that happened simultaneously. You know, was it a coincidence that orb appeared right above where I asked it to? I don't know. But on the other side of that, you know, orbs can be caused by so many things. Dust or water droplets or particulates in the air. And some of these things you can differentiate, like asbestos, for example, usually shows up in an octagon type of shape, usually like a blue or a green. So there's different colors compared to regular insulation, which shows up in a different way, you know, usually presenting a different color. So it's really hard to tell unless you have other evidence to back up your theory that it is an orb, you know.
Wow. That's so interesting. And I just wanted to share a little story with you and all our callers and listeners. Not too long ago, me and my family went up to Zion's National Park, and it was our first time there. And we were taking the little trolley that takes you up along the canyon, and I was taking pictures of the mountains, you know, different rock formations and stuff. And then as we got closer to the top, I was noticing that one of the mountains, it seemed like there was a fire, you know, or smoke or something that was coming off the top of the mountain. I thought, now that's odd. Why would there be, you know, a fire or smoke? And that couldn't be a cloud because it was the only thing up there. And I thought, oh, I'm going to go ahead and take a picture of that. So I went ahead and photographed it and went ahead and downloaded it to my computer, and I was able to enlarge the picture. And it was a picture of spirits that were up on the mountain. But these spirits were all angels. And it's almost like they were waving at us. You could see the formation of their body. And it was so amazing.
Wow.
I just wanted to share that.
I'd love to see that one day.
Actually, I downloaded it to my computer, and my computer crashed, and I lost it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I wish I would have been able to, you know, save it. But, you know, I think a lot of, you know, what we experience is meant for us, you know, whether it be a certain time or a certain place. And, you know, I'm sure that, you know, all our callers and listeners have had some kind of activity in their life that they might have seen. I mean, they even call these shadow people, you know, that you might see at the corner of your eye or something. And, you know, it's unexplainable, you know, to a lot of people, you know. I just wanted to share that with you. And,
well, thank you.
Can you remember any special, you know, ghost hunt that you might have went on that seems to stand out more than any?
You know, there's a couple in each location. You know, some of them, you know, really ring true to you. I think one that stands out probably the most is a building that I did downtown Salt Lake. It was an originally it was a coffin factory. And I had one of the best flashlight sessions that I've ever had. And, you know, it was just me and one other person. But it would not let me film the session. And if anyone else came around, it would go away. But in an hour and a half, I got into some of the most detailed, deep questions that I've ever, you know, that have ever come out of me during an investigation. And not only did I get the flashlight responses continuously and on command, but I got some EVPs to go along with it. I got name, you know. I believe one of the questions that I asked, you know, is this your home? And, you know, not only did the flashlights respond no, but also I had an EVP that says no home. And that led me to another question, you know, well, why are you here? You know, did you see a white light? You know, why didn't you go into the light when you passed? And I got an EVP right after that said, you know, didn't want to. So, you know, and those kind of questions, you know, they really ring home, you know, to you as an investigator, you know. You know, what's the story? You know, who is this spirit? Why was it afraid to go? You know, did it have some unfinished business? But that particular investigation, you know, I really felt connected to the person that I was speaking to, which I believe was a woman. She gave her name in an EVP as a woman. I felt really close. I felt really close to this spirit.
I just wanted to let all our callers and listeners know out there, when you have these conversations with these spirits, is it like talking, you know, to another person? You know, do they understand everything that you're saying? I mean, are they talking, you know, where you can understand them really good?
You know, sometimes if the connection is really, really strong, and I believe that is really rare that the connection is that strong. But I think it also depends on the device that you're using to communicate. You know, sometimes it comes through really broken. You may get a direct answer, but then get some answers that you don't understand. You know, and then again, you know, when you're doing these sessions and you're opening these doors, there's no telling who else is coming through. So you could ask a question and get a direct response to your question. But then the next question, you know, it seems like there's another spirit trying to come through and tell you what they want you to hear.
Would you say they sort of butt right in on your conversation that you were having?
They're not answering the question you asked. They're trying to tell you what they want to say, you know, and it's really hard to understand what they're trying to tell you.
Wow, that's amazing. But, you know, what's interesting, I just wanted to share with you, Kevin, and all our callers and listeners, me and my son, Adrian, you know, we've been on some paranormal investigations with other people. Actually, my oldest son was an investigator, and he got me and my youngest son, Adrian, interested. So we did a few, you know, on our own. And we were lucky. We were able to get some good recordings and make some conversations with some of these spirits, you know. And so that, like you say, Kevin, that's sort of rare, you know, to get that clear, you know, of a recording or whatever and make that kind of contact. Adrian has a, he makes contact with spirits all the time. They come to him. They talk to him. It's almost like, he's almost like an antenna, you know, that they just seem to beam right in on him.
Yeah, I wish physical. I had that ability sometimes,
yeah.
But then sometimes I'm glad I don't.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, it's like the movie Sixth Sense, you know, where you're seeing them all the time, where they sneak up on you, or where they're standing right next to you, or they hit you on the head, or I mean, Adrian's gotten punched in the ribs and, you know, and different stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice to be able to walk away.
You've been scratched, you know, on the stomach, you know. So it's not, you know, something that's enjoyable. And we recommend to a lot of our callers and listeners, if you're going to do this, make sure that you have some kind of spiritual protection around you, because they have what they call these hitchhikers. And if there's a spirit, you know, in the location, sometimes they might even follow you home. Yeah,
and
that's one
that's happened to me. Yeah.
Yeah. So it is important, you know, that when you're dealing with the spirit realm, you know, the spirit world, you know, you do have some kind of protection around it.
I agree.
Wanted to share that. Yeah. And the main thing is, it's like anything else, you have to have a lot of respect for the spirit world. And these are stuck spirits that are here not wanting to be here in this world, you know. So we have to respect them and respect their wishes, you know, also.
Yeah. I agree with that 100%.
Yeah. Because you're in their, you know, this is where they live. You're on their property. I just wanted to share that to all our callers and listeners. And Kevin, are you up to some questions? We're going to have one of our callers join us and maybe ask you some questions about some of your investigations.
I would love it.
Okay. Adrian, you want to go ahead and invite one of the callers?
Yes, let's start with the 347 area. You're on the air. 347.
Hello.
Hi.
347.
347, are you there? Let's go with the next caller.
Okay, we lost that call. Let's go to the 111 area. You're on the air.
Hello.
Oh, hello.
Hi. And what's your name and where are you from?
This is Tina calling from Florida.
And tonight, Tina, I just wanted to invite you under our show. Tonight we're doing something a little bit different. We're not going to do any readings tonight. We have Kevin Richardson from a paranormal group here in Salt Lake City, Utah. Do you have any questions for him on any of his investigations?
No, unfortunately, I was calling in for, you know, maybe pull some cards for a situation that I really wanted to talk about, but, you know, that was pretty much it.
We'll be doing that tomorrow night, but tonight we're going to, we have a special guest, so we want all our callers and listeners to hear some of his stories and as to what he does. Have you had any kind of paranormal experiences, you know, over the years?
I'm pretty sure I have. Not that I could see with the naked eye, but I'm pretty sure I have.
Well, being in Florida, I'm sure there's no shortage of ghosts.
And what kind of experience do you think you might have had? Were these sounds or something that you might have seen or what? Hello?
Yeah, we lost.
Okay. Let's go ahead with our next caller.
From the 347 area, you're on the air. 347? Okay, we're not getting no response there. Let's go to the 813 area. You're on the air. Hello. 813?
813. Let's go with the next caller.
Okay, let's go to the 678 area. You're on the air. 678.
You know, what I'm getting tonight, Adrian, is that a lot of our callers were expecting readings tonight. So we're going to go ahead and not, you know, have them on the show tonight. And we invite all our callers to join us tomorrow night. But tonight, we're going to focus on Kevin. He's a special guest that we invited on our show tonight and talking about his paranormal group. And Kevin, do you have anything else you want to share with us?
You know, it's funny you were talking about readings. You know, and I'm excited to work with you on our next investigation. So for those who don't know, and I hope you don't mind if I share this.
Oh, no, go right ahead.
You know, using mediums and your hypnosis skills to try to open doors and experiment with, you know, pushing the envelope of paranormal investigating to try to you know, thin the veil and see, you know, if it helps us communicate, you know, and find answers to,
you know,
questions that people have.
Again, we want to thank you, you know, for recognizing us and, you know, and what we do, you know. I just wanted to share with you and our callers and listeners out there that we, you know, have had other experiences, you know, working with paranormal groups. The last investigation that we went on was at a haunted hospital in Tooele, Utah. And this is going to be interesting because what we did was we had their paranormal group have all their equipment out, as one of their members had volunteered to be hypnotized. So once I had this person under hypnosis, I was able to make contact with the spirits that were there, you know, in that hospital, and the spirit talked to us. And as it was talking, this is going to be odd, but a lot of the EVP equipment was starting to go off. I don't know the names of all the equipment, but I know there's some that you use. It has like different lights that come on when you pick up on different activities.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
What's the name of that?
That's an EMF detector.
Oh, that's the EMF detector.
That's one of the things that has lights, you know, a lot of the detectors, a lot of types of detectors, you know, light up like that. But I believe you're talking about the EMF detector.
Yeah, it had the different lights, you know, I guess it has the different sensitivity, you know, one being the highest and then the lowest.
Yeah.
I guess that's how it picks up on those signals or the, you know, EMF or whatever, you know. Could you tell our callers and listeners what EMF stands for?
It stands for electromagnetic field, which can be caused by a number of things naturally. Running water, or a bolt of lightning. Most commonly, you know, it's electricity running through a wire. But a lot of natural things can cause electromagnetic field. You know, the earth, you know, is electromagnetically charged. And so it is a very natural occurrence. And so I believe that is one of the reasons why it's such an effective tool, is because it is such a natural phenomenon that a spirit would use that. You know, it's not a man-made thing. You know, it is nature. And so to be able to gauge that is, you know, that's one of the other really important tools that a ghost hunter can use.
That's so amazing because, you know, I've been doing some research about the, you know, EMF fields, and actually there was a person by the name of Tesla. And he was working with a lot of those same fields of electricity, EMF.
Yeah, Nikolai Tesla.
Yeah.
He
claims that we could get free energy from these fields. I mean, he had proven that. And we don't know how each one of us are being affected, you know, by these energy fields, because we can't see it or smell it or touch it. But you know, like you mentioned, you know, it's amazing how these spirits seem to know about it, you know, and that's how they make communication through that.
Yeah, you know, and the same goes, you know, we know that type of energy is there, but we can't see it, we can't really sense it, but
right.
It's there.
You
know, and the same goes with spirits, you know. You can't see them. You know, sometimes you can sense them, you know, but...
Right.
But, yeah, it's, you know, it's the same thing, and I agree. It really is an amazing thing.
Yeah. The main thing is people are beginning to be more aware now. They're not so scared of, you know, of the... paranormal. A lot of it has to do too with what Hollywood's been putting out there for years, you know, talking about the paranormal and, you know, different groups and stuff that's gone in and done investigations and stuff. And plus, you know, they have these paranormal groups that you know, that Hollywood has put, you know, in series, you know, on television. Also, I think what it's doing is, more than any, it's opening up a lot of people's awareness, and they're accepting it a little bit more, and I think that's great. You know, why be in fear? Yeah,
I agree. I think a lot of ghost hunters become ghost hunters because of the things that they see on TV, but I also think that some of the shows are, you know, they're doing the same thing over and over. And, you know, it kind of leaves little for the imagination, I think. You know, I think that, you know, it kind of spoils the exploration a little bit.
Right.
You know, I think that people, you know, if they want to start, you know, and it was a paranormal TV show that got their interest going, that's great, you know, but don't rely on the TV shows to for what works for you, what best works for you. You know, you have to actually get out there with some people that know and,
right.
and go through these small steps yourself until you find that particular type of research or investigating that works best for you and gets you the best answers for you.
Right.
You know, because ultimately that's what ghost hunting is. You know, you're not trying to really prove the existence of ghosts, you know, because I could get the best EVP in the world, but I can't really convince someone that it's true. You know,
right.
I can only know it for myself where I caught it, how I caught it, and that it's legitimate, you know. So that answer is really for me.
Right.
At the end of it.
You know, that is so true, and I'm glad that, you know, that your feelings on that tells me that, you know, what you do is mainly for research. I mean, you're not trying to capitalize off of it. You know, you're mainly learning, you know, from that, you know, and that's great. You know, there's nothing wrong in that. The main thing is, you know, we have to be open, you know, to all of that.
Yeah, you know,
we have to know
the
truth.
Most of the investigations that I do, you know, it is for personal gain. You know, I love it when I catch a good piece of information and I can share it.
Right.
And say, oh, yeah, look what I caught. You know, what are your thoughts?
Yeah.
But then, again, you know, we do residentials where people need help. And
right.
To be able to help somebody with a problem, a spiritual problem.
You know, and that's so true. We,
wonderful thing.
Actually, we just did some work for a lady and her husband at a health store that we go to out in West Jordan, and it scared them so bad because their daughter was having a lot of paranormal activity that was going on in their home, and we had to go in there and help clear that for them, and it made a big relief for them, you know, knowing that, you know, whatever was there, you know, was going to be gone, you know.
That can be really scary because you don't know. You don't know.
No.
You know, a lot of people don't know what they're dealing with or, you know, what to expect.
Yeah. Kevin, I just wanted to mention to you something. We're off the air right now. So if for some reason we're cut off, that means that we've run out of time. So we could, you know, keep talking until that time comes. But we've sure enjoyed you, you know, being on our show tonight. And I'm sure, you know, this is something new to our listeners. And but, you know, we've had other people on our show, and we just love to give variety. You know, we don't like doing the same thing over and over again. We like to give something new, you know, to our, you know, radio show.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you having me on. It's been fun.
You are so welcome. And we want you to come back again, you know, and join us, because we feel that, you know, the work that we can do together, you know, why not? You know, we're all, you know, what you do and what we do is pretty much in alignment. We just done in different ways.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, we're all working for the same thing, and that's to open up awareness and one, so that, you know, people can be prepared, you know. You know, it's happening more and more anymore, and people have to be prepared.
The truth is out there.
And, you know, and we talk about other things also, you know, what's going on with our economy, you know, what, you know, what's going on in politics. You know, we open up to all possibilities, and you know, and that's where everybody should be, is, you know, be open-minded to everything.
There's nothing wrong with being a skeptic. What's wrong is being closed-minded.
Yeah.
And we're glad we've met you, and you're an open-minded person, and we enjoy talking to open-minded people.
Absolutely.
And again, we thank you, you know, for joining us, you know, on our show tonight, and we're looking forward to being back on again.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Roy. Thanks so much.
And make sure you send me an email, or, you know, or even on Facebook, I could check it, you know, when you got a date for us on the date that we were talking about.
Okay.
The end of February. Okay.
Thank you very much.
I'll put that in my calendar, and then you have a great night.
All right.
Have a great night.
Talk to you later.
All right. Bye.
Bye.